What's up, people? I'm Garrett Johnson, and you're listening to Consider Before Consuming, a podcast by Fight the New Drug. Today's convo is with Tanya. She is a representative for Bark. Bark is a tech company that helps keep kids safer online. Bark has reached some amazing milestones as of late. At the time of this recording, Bark has helped over 5 million individuals be safer online and are in over 2,000 school districts. At Fight the New Drug, we don't partner with many companies, but Bark is one of the few that we do partner with. And here's the reason why. According to a 2019 case study, 70% of tweens and 84% of teens encounter nudity or content of a sexual nature online. Well, Bark can help with that. During this conversation, you'll hear why Bark is important, how to use it, how it can build trust between caregivers and kids, and how to get a free month trial. With all that being said, we hope you enjoy this episode. Consider before consuming. We want to welcome to the podcast Titania. And so welcome to the podcast, Titania.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for joining us. Just for our listeners to know, Titania is currently in, are you in Georgia?
I am, Atlanta, Georgia.
So we are definitely practicing social distancing right now. despite having this conversation, we are definitely far apart, and we are grateful for you being on here, Titania. As we were getting prepped, you said that you're dealing with the homeschooling thing, so we appreciate you stepping away from that for a moment.
Absolutely, and honestly, my son probably does too.
Yeah, for sure. We can all appreciate a little bit of variety in our schedules right now.
So. Oh, yeah.
And I'm rattling your name off, acting like I know how to pronounce it. Is that the correct pronunciation?
It sure is.
Titania. I love it.
Yeah, nailed it. Thank you.
It's a unique name.
That it is.
I like it. It's a good name. So the reason why we wanted to bring you on is because you work with a very cool organization that Fight the New Drug has partnered with, and that organization is Bark. But we just wanted to kind of understand, Titania, how did you end up working with Bark?
Yeah, truly. So Bark is my fourth startup. I served at the intersection of parenting and tech for the majority of my career. And so it was a very natural progression. It was really, really interesting because my third startup, we had a bit of I don't know how to describe it really in very short time frame, so we don't go down that rabbit hole, but there was definitely some challenges involved with that. And as a result, I left and was really just feeling down and struggling with imposter syndrome, and I didn't know what was next for me, and potentially wasn't even going to be in the startup world anymore because it was such a high-risk, high-stress environment. And this opportunity came along. It was so amazing. And I said, okay, I guess I'm doing the thing again. Gonna get back into startup life. And that was over 3 years ago.
Wow. What made you press forward and be like, yeah, okay, Bark, I'll jump on board?
Well, it's interesting. Bark was like a quiet giant or a silent ninja, take your pick. I mean, you know, any startup that is not inherently building itself out of San Francisco or New York or Boston. In the past, you know, you'd maybe have to really give it a long, hard look just because the ecosystem traditionally wasn't there. But over the past few years, Atlanta has become truly a tech hub with the resources and the investors and the tech talent to support a really big idea. And I also had confidence in our leader, our CEO, Brian Basin, and our CTO, Brandon Hilkert. They weren't messing around. They had very impressive backgrounds. They had had successful exits before. Brian was at Twitter before Bark. And so I knew this wasn't just an idea. This had tangible legs with experienced, tenured leaders. And obviously the mission. I mean, I could not think of a better mission that was poised to be successful in this new day and age of children being online more than ever. upwards of 8 hours a day, and being introduced to devices and social media at younger and younger ages, and a landscape of parents that were completely overwhelmed and needed help. And so it could not have been more perfect, and I couldn't say no.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great. Speaking of your mission, this is kind of the introduction to BARC for those that don't know. Like I said, we at Fight the New Drug, we've partnered with BARC. We partner with very few companies, and BARC's one of the few that we feel very confident in promoting. And so can you speak to your mission statement a little bit, what you guys are about?
Absolutely, yeah. So BARC helps keep children safer online and in real life. And the way we do that is by monitoring children's social media, over 30 platforms, including YouTube, text messages, and email. And next week, actually, we're launching screen time and filtering as well, which is huge. And so we're monitoring your children's digital lives. And then we are alerting you when we come across issues like cyberbullying, sexual content, thoughts of suicide and depression, potential drug use, online predators, acts of violence. And we will not only send you an alert and say, you know, here's the problem, good luck. We'll also give you best recommended next steps vetted by child health and wellness professionals to help you have those difficult conversations and help your child and steer them through this new landscape. And so that's our mission. A little bit about our tech and how it works is we're not just flagging keywords. We are using artificial intelligence and machine learning algorithms to analyze the context of language and photos and memes and GIFs and emojis, audio, video. It's truly mind-blowing and comprehensive what our technology can do, especially as someone who is not, I'm not a computer scientist, I'm not a data scientist. I am a mom and a marketer and a communicator and a creative. So yeah, it's incredible what tech can do. And it's, you know, over the past 5 years almost now that BARC has been in existence, we now protect over 5 million children across the nation, and our technology is in over 2,000 school districts across the nation. We have escalated 16 credible school shooting threats to law enforcement. We have surfaced over 450 online predators to proper authorities, and our tech has flagged over 22,000 severe self-harm and suicidal ideation incidents to the people who needed to know to take action. So it's not just a cool piece of tech, it's an actual technology that is literally saving lives. And so it's pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, it really is. And you saying that you keep kids safer online and in real life, some of those stats that you mentioned are definitely backing that statement up. So thanks for all you guys are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing it with your incredible community.
Yes, absolutely. You mentioned that you are not a computer scientist or data scientist. And I think that a lot of our parents can relate to that. They kind of feel like they need to be.
Right.
To be able to navigate the technology today, this situation that we're in. But you're not even a computer scientist and a data scientist. But so that's good. I think that our community can relate to that, because it's like, okay, maybe there is a way for me to actually navigate this. And one thing that I love that you guys do is you focus on building trust between the caregiver and the child.
Yeah.
Or children. Yeah. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, when we were kids, the last thing we wanted was, you know, to have our parents read our diary or listen in on the phone line when we were talking to our friends. And, you know, we really craved our privacy. And sometimes that was absolutely warranted, and other times it wasn't, because our safety was at stake. Fast forward to today, and now parents who don't use BARC are faced with two scenarios. One is do nothing, stick your head in the sand, hope for the best. Or two, spot check your kid's device, you know, ask for their phone a few times a day or every night, comb through everything, all the messages, all the DMs, all the things that you at least think you know about, much less the things that you don't. And that's very, very cumbersome. And just very friction heavy. And so one of the reasons why Brian left Twitter to start Bark was because he knew that there was a better way to do this. He could use technology to surface problems and then let the kids be kids and have their privacy and talk about whatever, you know, fun, silly, dumb things kids talk about that aren't problematic the rest of the time, and not put the burden on parents to have to spend hours combing through these things and cause more fights than necessary. So we don't give parents full unfettered access to their children's devices and accounts. Our tech, our algorithm is doing the work of combing through the things and surfacing the things that you need to be aware of. And children, not all children, but some children have commented that they actually prefer Bark because the old way, you know, excuse my French, but sucked. And, and you know, it helps parents have those difficult conversations that they maybe otherwise wouldn't. For example, my son is in fifth grade and does have an iPhone, which some children might not be ready for that at fifth grade. So just putting that asterisk in there of like, for him it was a good time, but not saying you should, you know, give your fifth grader a smartphone, but he right. has one. And so he received a text from, I guess it was a spam bot, not sure, but they were pushing male enhancement drugs. And so he maybe wouldn't have brought that up to me on his own, but I got a Bark alert and I was able to talk with him just about spam. And we were able to talk about how you can block certain numbers from reaching you anymore. And, you know, other unique conversations that, you know, whether I like it or not, my fifth grader was exposed to that. And he would have been exposed to that either through his text messages or maybe YouTube or maybe a friend on the bus. And now he knows that he can talk to me about those uncomfortable situations and we'll get through it together and it will be as non-cringeworthy as possible.
For sure. And I like that. I think that back in the day, for a lot of our listeners to get access to that type of advertisement for like a male enhancement drug, like the, your kid got that advertisement, that spam, mm-hmm. you'd have to be up late night on TV.
Right.
And kind of come across that. But now if you have technology in your pocket, just like you experienced with your fifth grader, it's being presented to him or her. So.
Yeah. And not only that, but I mean, I know, you know, and I'm sure a lot of our of this audience knows, but in case you don't know, children are encountering these issues at a staggering rate. You might think you have everything locked down and the filters in place and the PIN codes enabled for Netflix and all the things, but you know, our data shows that children are encountering cyberbullying and sexual content and expressions of suicidal ideation and depression and online predators, just you name it, at staggering rates. Perhaps in the show notes or in the blog post, I can give you a link to our annual case study that highlights just what real kids are encountering and at what rates. And I mean, it's scary to see just even what 8-year-olds are encountering online, because yeah. you know, you can't hover over them 24/7, 365. If they have access to tech, there's a very likely chance they're going to encounter something.
Right. I was actually going to ask you that, because with all the monitoring and detecting that Bark does, I was wondering if you guys have performed any case studies showing how prevalent sexting or porn or grooming or all these things that you're mentioning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a case study from 2018 and a case study from 2019. And I'm just going to pull up our 2019 case study. And just with regards to sexual content, 70.7% of tweens, that's 8 to 12-year-olds, and 84% of teens encountered nudity or content of a sexual nature online. So that's not nothing.
You said 74% of tweens?
Mm-hmm. 70% of tweens and 84% of teens.
Goodness. That's even higher than I thought it'd be.
It's, yeah. And the data set was 873.8 million data points across text, email, YouTube, and, you know, 30-plus apps and social media platforms. So that's the data set, and that's what the data showed. And to speak in even more powerful and concrete terms, a local Atlanta principal told me not too long ago that sexting was the new first base. you know, in middle school, we may have been concerned with our first kiss and when that was going to take place. And now our kids are grappling with the, do I send a nude? Do I ask for a nude? Oh my gosh, what do I do? That nude has been sent and it's out there and I can't take it back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is powerful, unfortunately. You mentioned one thing that I'm curious about, Titania. You said that, because right now Bark is just as monitoring and detection, but you mentioned that, you mentioned something about filtration and screen time is going to be released soon.
Yeah. So it used to be that you'd have to rely on a variety of baked in free or paid services to get the screen time and filtering component for your children's devices and accounts, in addition to monitoring for the dangers with Bark. And over and over again, we just heard parents saying, can't we just have it all in one? You know, it'd be a lot easier.
Right.
So that's what we're rolling out. Not only can you get alerts for when your children have encountered problematic content, but you'll now be able to just pause the Wi-Fi in your house for their devices or give them specific limits for, you know, I don't want my kid online after 10 p.m. and I want to be able to go to sleep and rest easy knowing he's not online after 10 p.m. So you can do that from the Bark app coming soon. And you can also filter. You can toggle what you would and would not like them to access online and even whitelist or blacklist specific websites that you want them or don't want them to access.
Right. That's really great.
And I'm thrilled. I can't wait.
That's very awesome. And that will be nice. Like you said, the convenience of having it just be one company that you go to. That's great. So just so our listeners know, I mentioned that we've partnered with Bark.
Yes.
And you guys do a week free trial normally. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah. 7-day free trial to get it all up and running. Just get the time to sit down and assess, you know, what your kids can access online and then get it all connected. And between you and me and the the people listening, if for some reason you just don't have the time to do it, because I totally get that. I feel that acutely right now, especially. Just reach out to our customer success team and ask for an extended trial, and we'll be happy to give that to you.
And I think if I'm remembering correctly, our partnership, if you go to ftnd.org/Bark, you can participate in a 30-day free trial.
Let me double check that, because I think that is correct too, but I do not want to be a liar face. So I just made that up, by the way, liar face.
That's a good term.
Yes, bark.us/FTND. You can try Bark free for 30 days. So,
cool.
Boom, no excuses.
There we go, yeah. And you mentioned them reaching out just to ease this, make this process even easier. You said they can reach out to the customer service line?
Yeah, so it's super, super great. Our we call them our FOSS team, our Family Online Safety Specialists. I love this team with big puffy hearts. They're available 24/7, 365, and they're there to help you with all the things, right? Maybe your kid only has a Chromebook because the school gave it to them. Maybe they have an iPhone or an Android or a Kindle or a smartwatch or, heck, smartphone speakers, whatever. They'll walk you through how to keep it as safe as possible given the existing tech landscape. And yeah, any problems you have, we'll help you.
Cool. Can you give another example that can help parents understand why this technology is so helpful in today's technological landscape? You mentioned the example with your fifth grader.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I have a ton of examples. Feel free to just interrupt me if I am getting long-winded. But yeah, so I'll start with a really compelling one. There is a mom in Chicago whose 12-year-old daughter, you know, cheerleader, super popular, super happy, super well-rounded, you know, healthy family dynamics, everything was good. But she just sensed something was off, and she knew she had signed up for Bark, but she hadn't got it connected. So she thought, okay, it's time for me to get this Bark thing connected. And she did. And within a week, She got an alert that showed that her daughter was searching online for how to die by suicide using things found in the home. And so that obviously was incredibly chilling. But both she and we are thankful that she got Bark connected and she was able to get her daughter the help she needed, because otherwise she would have had no idea that her daughter was even struggling with those thoughts. And unfortunately, we probably send about 12 to 15 alerts like that a day to families. With regards to online predators, some of you may have seen a video we produced that went viral. It's got like 7 million views on YouTube now and a couple million more on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. But we went undercover as a few different personas online. One of them was an 11-year-old girl on Instagram. And the rate at which grown men reached out to her for nefarious purposes was stomach-churning. Online predators are out there. They are aggressive. They are smart. And they will find ways to contact your children, even if your children have private accounts. They can still reach them through the direct message feature. And so those are two examples right there. I mean, you know, on a lighter note, some parents get alerts just that their children have encountered violent content, and perhaps it's a video game tutorial they watched on YouTube, or a lot of times kids will be in text threads and they're talking about kicking each other out. And that can actually lend itself to feeling isolated and cyberbullying, where to the kids it just seems like a joke and then they let them back in, but to the kid who gets kicked, it's not so fun. So whether it's really, really intense stuff or even more lighthearted stuff, even, you know, profanity, Bark can alert you so that you can talk to your child, get them the help they need, get the help you need to deal with it as a parent, and then go from there.
Awesome. Yeah, those are some powerful examples, and especially the one that really hit home to me because of the video you guys put out was the undercover project you guys did. I remember, if I'm remembering correctly, once you created and went live on those different platforms, it was within a couple minutes that predators were reaching out.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we created these accounts, put them up, and thought maybe we would get some yucky stuff over the course of a few months. And it was minutes. It was minutes. And these were not photos that were salacious in any way. They were innocent. They were cute. They were really meant to look like an 11-year-old or a 15-year-old, you know, flowers and Starbucks mugs and puppies and just typical teenage non-sexualized content. And even then, men were reaching out, adult men, with the sole purpose to groom and abuse a child.
And we'll link that undercover video to this episode so that our listeners can watch that. I highly recommend watching that. It's about 10 minutes long. And just to be clear, the person who created this, so Bark, it was their project, but the person who created the profiles, it was a real person, but she is a mom, correct? She went undercover as a girl?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so our team worked together to create these personas based on the likeness of a mom on our team, and our graphic designers did an amazing job transforming her from a 37-year-old to an 11-year-old, a 15-year-old, a fill-in-the-blank-year-old. It's incredible what, you know, Photoshop and other tools can do, so it was her likeness in these images, and it was just chilling.
Right. It really was. You used the term stomach turning.
Yeah.
And as I watched that video, yeah, that's how I felt. So we will definitely link that. I think it's important. It's not the funnest watch, but it is very eye-opening. It's a reality check for us. So I encourage those listeners to go check that out. And I think by doing so, you'll realize how important Bark can be so that you can keep your kids safer online. So.
Agreed. Yeah, and just a footnote there for anyone who might be a survivor of sexual abuse at any point in their life. It could be a bit triggering, and so just wanted to give you that heads up that it is not easy to watch, and so just take that for what it is. And then also, I felt comfortable letting my 11-year-old watch the video with me, and I fast-forwarded through two specific parts, one of which where a predator was being very graphic in his language with the persona, and then another scene in the movie where we actually come into contact in real life with a real-life predator, and the things that he was saying to our persona were also not what I didn't feel was appropriate for my fifth grader to hear. So outside of those two parts, I felt like it was okay to share with him because, you know, I wanted him to know this really can happen. There are, you know, and to boys too, you can be groomed through video games and other means. And I just needed him to know, A, what mommy did at work all day, and B, you know, that this is real life. So.
Right. You mentioned the prevalence of sexting, mm-hmm. and you mentioned that quote from the principal who said that it was the new first base.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any stats on, because there's a, I heard, and I don't know if this is true, this is the reason why I'm asking this question, because I heard that a lot of today's child pornography is because of sexting. And like when we think of child pornography, we think of a predator, and like usually stereotypically speaking, it's like an old man that's like creating and distributing child pornography. But I think if I'm under the right impression, that the reality is that usually it's children nowadays that are creating and distributing child pornography. Is that fair to say?
It is fair to say. I am not an expert on the child pornography stats yet. But what I do know based on work from organizations like yours and many others in this space is that unfortunately children are being lured into sharing content of themselves or their friends. Perhaps they feel trapped. Sometimes they're bribed. Sometimes an adult will go online and pretend to be a peer, a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, and say, hey, I did this pose for someone and they gave me $50. Could you do the same thing? And then before you know it, your material is distributed online. So yeah, it's pretty shocking the way that this content can find its way into the dark underbelly of the internet. But yeah, it's happening, it's prevalent, and it's disgusting.
Yes. Well, we're fortunate that you joined us today to help us understand a little bit more about BARC. The two big milestones that blow me away are the 5 million, that over the course of 5 years, you guys have reached and protected over 5 million individuals. And now that you're in over 2,000 school districts, those are some amazing feats.
Yeah, the growth is incredible. Part of that stemmed from a decision we made in 2018 after the tragedy at Parkland. You know, we already had this technology and it was working, and it was working for families with their children's personal devices and accounts. But we did a pilot in the fall of 2017 with 25 schools just to see how our tech might help the school issued devices and accounts. And the issues that we alerted to because of that opened our eyes. We were trying to figure out, you know, what do we do with this? Then Parkland happened, and we realized we have got to get this out to every school in the nation. Who will use it? And it needs to be yesterday, and it needs to be for free. So we released BARC for Schools. It's the same tech as our BARC for Families, but it's for free, and it's for any school in the nation. And man, schools needed it, and they responded. And that's, you know, what really showcased some pretty tremendous growth for us because schools were just signing up in droves because they didn't have anything like this, much like parents struggle to manage their children's digital lives. You know, IT directors and administrators at schools, they can't possibly comb through every single email that kids are sending and receiving on their school-issued devices and accounts. The only way previously they had to be alerted to issues were if it somehow got raised to them, you know, in the hallway or through a guidance counselor. So it's pretty incredible.
I like how you put that. You said that they need this and they should have had it by yesterday.
I mean,
because that's just the truth. And I think the same thing applies to our listeners. I don't have children that are of the age of having a technology in their pocket. So once I do, I definitely know where I'm going to go because, yeah, you guys are doing great things. So I just once again want to encourage our listeners to watch that video, the Uncover video that Bark did, and then Undercover video, yes, that Bark did. And then check out the, because we have a partnership, once again, the URL is ftnd.org/Bark. And you can check out Bark for free for 30 days.
Yes, please, please, please try it out. You might be surprised. You'll probably be surprised by some of the alerts you'll get, and it will help you have open and honest and ongoing conversations with your children that you maybe weren't having yet and need to. I say that not from a Judgy McJudgerson standpoint, but from a, it does that for me as well.
Right. And I think it'd be important to note, you said it, you might be surprised by some of the things that you come across, but let's just remember that we'd rather have those types of surprises. Going back to the example of the cheerleader who had the suicide ideation.
Yeah.
We'd rather have that type of surprise where we can react and be helpful and open up lines of communication and build trust with the children that we care for, instead of having the tragedy. So we, Bark, to Tanya and those working at Bark, we want to say thank you for all you do. You definitely are making the world a better place, a safer place for kids online and in real life. So any last words to Tanya? Anything else you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Just to reiterate my thanks to you and your community. You know, Fight the New Drug is helping to remove stigma and shame around an addictive problem in our society that people don't quite know how to talk about. And, you know, you're drawing the curtain back and addressing it head on and helping so many families to recover and to address a dark issue. And it's very empowering, and it's a very brave endeavor. So just thank you so much and your team.
Yes, absolutely. We are fortunate to be part of the movement. And yeah, that's our goal, is changing the conversation and educating on the harmful effects of pornography and sexual exploitation. And Bark, yeah, you guys align right with what we're trying to accomplish in changing the conversation. The one thing that I do love about Bark is, I think we already touched on it a little bit, but I just want to emphasize it again, that the whole goal of Bark really is to build trust and open lines of communication with your kid, rather than just filtration without them knowing.
Absolutely. Yeah, we encourage you to talk with your kids before you're even going to get Bark. Like, hey, like this is what I'm doing to keep you safe. Much like you have to wear a bicycle helmet when you ride a bike, and we have, you know, smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors in our home, and you have to wear a seatbelt when you get in the car. I'm not going to give you this thing that can access the world and lets the world access you without some sort of safety net. Right. I keep you safe in real life, and I'm keeping you safe online, and this is how I'm doing it. And it's, you know,
right.
Try to argue with that.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. That's a pretty solid argument there. So just once again, the URL to check out Bark is ftnd.org/Bark for 30 days free. So go check them out. Thanks again. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Stay healthy and safe, you and everyone.
Yes. Stay healthy and safe. That's the goal. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Consider Before Consuming. Consider Before Consuming is brought to you by Fight the New Drug. Fight the New Drug is a non-religious and non-legislative organization that exists to provide individuals the opportunity to make an informed decision regarding pornography by raising awareness on its harmful effects using only science, facts, and personal accounts. If you'd like to learn more about today's conversation, you can check out the links attached to this episode. If you're a person who doesn't need BARC but needs a good solution for recovery, you can check out our friends at Fortify. We've partnered with Fortify, so you can check them out at ftnd.org/fortify. That's ftnd.org/fortify. It really does mean a lot that you joined us today for this conversation. As you go about your day, we invite you to increase your self-awareness, look both ways, check your blind spots, and consider before consuming.